Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Get ready for the Corinth Comic Con this November 8th at the Crossroads Arena. Meet special guest Jimmy Walker from Good Times and more. With over 100 vendor spaces, wrestling show, and so much more for the whole family. For tickets and info, go to CorinthComicCon.com.
This is Gerard Gibbert, and thank you for listening to Middays here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert is on the air. Middays with Gerard Gibbert is powered by C Spire. Power your home or business with C Spire fiber. To learn more, visit supertalk.fm/C Spire. C Spire fiber powers Super Talk Mississippi.
Get ready. Get ready to go beyond the headlines. And join a meaningful conversation with people from around the state. You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Everyone, and welcome to Midday Super Talk Mississippi. I'm your host, Gerard Gibbert, along with Rhino in the Element Wealth Studio, guiding you through the middle of your day with facts, fodder, and fine music. Morning there, Rhino.
Howdy, howdy.
Quite the night up there in Starkville.
Oh, yeah.
Man, nobody saw that coming. What, the ending in such dramatic fashion. Didn't quite see that. But, man, they played great, entertained the visiting, 12th-ranked team in the country, that being Arizona State. You know why they lost, don't you?
Why is that?
Because they changed the little logo on their helmet. I like the little devil running the ball with a pitchfork. And now they had to come up with that kind of funny-looking devil sort of creature on the side of the helmet there. And that's did them in. I think. No, the Bulldogs played great. Congratulations to the Mississippi State Nation. The Rebels went up, took care of business in Kentucky. Is that not annoying, the way that announcer pronounces that? Kentucky! It's just like that's all you can hear. And I know that's part of the purpose, right, is to annoy everybody.
It seems.
Oh, man, it's a trademark of certain public address announcers. So, overall, though, pretty decent weekend for football in Magnolia State. This weekend, a different story in Oxford when Arkansas comes to town. I think Mississippi State will host Alcorn State University. So, but signature win for Jeff Lebby, as they say. Pretty good stuff. On the diamond, down there in Miami. Oh, geez, isn't this something? Little did this lady know she would be a household name today, right? It's amazing how much video was captured of this incident. That would be in the left field stands there at Marlins Stadium.
Now you kind of see my point about why there's not so much drinking, especially binge drinking, because you don't want to wind up being the butt of the joke.
Well, this Karen here is.
I don't even know if she has the excuse of being overserved. I think she's just ate up with it.
I think you're right. What really caused me to LOL, as they say, you've probably seen it. There's an AI-generated meme going around that has Liz Warren, her face and head, atop that Phillies jersey and red hoodie old Karen has on. Folks, you've probably seen it, but there was a bit of a dust-up in the stands there. Home run ball. A father and his son, they're there. It turns out it's his birthday as well. And you know how the rules work. Whoever's got that thing in their hand last, that's it. And this Karen thinks she has this home run ball in her grasp, but she drops it, and there's a scramble, and the father comes up with it, hands it to his son. He's, what, 11, 12, something like that? It doesn't matter. He's 3.5 feet high, whatever the situation. But old Karen wasn't having anything of it. And she gets in his face, and everybody in the stands is capturing it on video. The greatest ex post, Rhino, was this woman has no idea how her life is about to change. Oh, man. It just a strange turn of events. Now, of course, and the kid's watching like, what in the heck is going on here? Watching these two adults. And
yeah, it seems like pretty much everybody's on the same side as far as her antics being less than exemplary.
Yeah.
About the nicest way I can put it. But the debate starts when you discuss the dad's reaction and ultimately giving her the ball. I fall on the side of, sorry, crazy lady, go sit down. You're not getting the ball. By the way, get away from my son.
I agree with you. And I was disappointed in the father's reaction, though it looks noble. I get it. This is one
of the other side of the debate is that he must be thinking, okay, end this scenario with a crazy person as soon as possible, and the way to do that is giving him the ball. It's like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
couldn't take a kid's birthday ball away, special moment, to give it to a crazy person.
Well, and it could be that he was concerned about additional crazy reaction on her part as well. I mean, I don't know, but I kind of wish. Look, again, it's hard to second guess here, and I don't want to place too much fault on him. But this is one of those situations where I wish he would have asserted his masculinity and just said, get away, crazy lady. I got the ball in my hand. This is my son. That's who it's going to. And on the other hand, what kind of tool are you when you're a crazy Karen like this? And you're making such a scene in front of a child on his birthday over a home run ball.
Well, in fairness, she had no way of knowing it was his birthday.
I know. I get it. But nonetheless, he's 10. You're 50-something. Get freaking over it. Good gosh. Marcus Lemonis from Barstool Sports said, I'm sending this young man and his family to the World Series on me. Oh, and you just won an RV as well. How about that? Barstool Sports actually posted. Dad was able to get a home run ball for his son, but a Karen in the section was not going to let him keep it.
Well, I mean, it didn't have a sad ending for the kid. That was
no,
an embarrassing moment
right.
for the dad, in my opinion, but an even more embarrassing moment for her. But the kid got a big swag bag that the team like pretty much immediately brought out when they saw what was happening. And then I think it was during that interaction they found out it was his birthday, so they just kept the ball rolling and got the guy that hit the home run to do a meet and greet and give him a signed bat and some other goodies. And, yeah, so the kid had a good birthday, even though he had to go through that. But, yeah.
Well, he also got a signed bat from Philly star Harrison Bader as well.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah. I'm sorry, somebody was texting me. I apologize for that. From a U.S. Senator's office. I'm sure he'll get showered with lots of other stuff as well, right? Don't you think? I mean, that we may not even know about at this point. But what's up when, like, both of them are pointing, Karen and the dad? What are they pointing at there? What? Is she, like, trying?
That's from the video of the people around them started giving him a hard time and she wasn't liking it. And then the whole section started booing. And then it seemed like the upper deck started booing. And I haven't seen the video of this, but there was a claim put out there that They got booed out of the stadium.
And she's like in his face. I mean, if somebody's at close range recording the video, she's got her head tilted in that sanctimonious fashion. And you'll have to admit, she does kind of favor Liz Warren a little bit with the hairdo and the glasses. And she's like pointing like, well, I had this. You didn't have it. Like, dude, I got it. Hey, toots, that's what I want to call her here. I got it in my hand. And the poor son, the look of stress on his face while this lady's in her dad's, in his dad's face is unbelievable. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, woman. Unbelievable. Incredible. This is she maybe part of this generation you talk about that's maybe my generation, the crazy hippie baby boomers? Maybe so. She kind of looks like she could be part of that, right?
Yeah, they're neck and neck with millennials for the most entitled generation of human history.
I hope that means present company excluded, of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm technically a millennial. Well, forever, I thought I was Gen X. I was the last of the dying of Gen X, but nope, I'm a millennial, an elder millennial.
Oh, my gosh. This is just an amazing story. But with a happy ending, I feel sorry for you there, Karen. You're pathetic, honestly. We're coming right back. We've got Dan Rollins, Chairman and CEO of Cadence Bank, at 11:05.
Calloway's is everything that's growing green. That's what Calloway's is.
Calloway's patio furniture summer sale starts now. This is what you've been waiting for. New markdowns throughout the store, just in time for your summer family fun. With the South's largest in-stock selection, you can enjoy your new patio furniture today. Calloway's has a large selection of ornamental and colored plants with special markdowns throughout the store. Stop by Calloway's Farmers Market, full of fresh fruits, vegetables, jellies, jams, and local honey, and the best tomatoes in town. This is Anna Calloway. Since 1954, Calloway's has been family owned and operated. Calloway's has everything you need to make your yard and garden beautiful, from trees, shrubs, and color plants to bulk soils for delivery and pickup. Be sure to stop by and visit Calloway's summer patio furniture sale and additional markdowns throughout the store. Calloway's in Gluckstadt on Calvin Station Parkway, south of Germantown High.
Calloway's is everything for home and garden. That's what Calloway's is.
At Fillmore Buick GMC, we strive to make buying your next vehicle easy and take care of you long after you drive off the lot. That means upfront and honest pricing, doing everything we can to make the time you spend in the dealership as short or as long as you need. It means we understand that purchasing a vehicle is more than just a transaction for you. We want you to enjoy the experience as much as we appreciate your business. Find your next Buick GMC or pre-owned vehicle at FillmoreBuickGMC.com. Fillmore Buick GMC. You drive everything we do.
And Winkle Guide to the Dentist.
Hey, what? Hey, what?
And what's worse than a trip to the dentist? Your wife's paint project that you've put off. Let Seabrook Paint in Jackson and Ridgeland find that Benjamin Moore paint and a contractor that will get you back doing the important things in life, like grilling and watching sports. Seabrook, Benjamin Moore paint, and a happy wife, happy life. Seabrook Paint in Jackson on Monument and in Ridgeland on West Jackson.
First down.
Friday night's just got a whole lot louder. Hartfield Academy Hawks football is on Super Talk Mississippi, 97.3 FM. Michael Borky and JT Mitchell bringing you every play all season long. Thanks to our community-minded partners like Outback Steakhouse, Mazda of Jackson, Zach Stewart at Good Hope Land and Timber, Rick's Pro Truck, Mack Hike, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Flowood, and Covery Wellness. Hartfield Academy football on Super Talk Mississippi 97.3.
This is where the story of your state gets told each day. We're proud to cover the Magnolia State like nobody else. Super Talk Mississippi.
This segment of Middays with Gerard Gibbert is brought to you by Covington County Hospital in Collins, where your health matters.
Now back to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. It's Middays from the Element Wealth Studio. Thanks so much for joining us. So, lots of excitement in the air with the temperatures getting a little brisk. I think they're going to return to the 90s, but makes you feel like it's football and fair weather, right? Because the Mississippi State Fair coming up early October this year. And, of course, with the football teams scoring wins on the gridiron, you can just feel the energy. I noticed in church yesterday, lots of MSU shirts in the church. And then my regular golf game is about two-thirds MSU, a third Ole Miss folks. And we have a couple of LSU fans as well in there. And everybody was in their attire. But big win, and Caleb Saylor's just walked in the studio. He was there, I believe, and had photos of the swarming of the fans onto the field post-game. That looked like the staff that was taking the goalpost off the field to preserve them, I believe. That's become kind of a regular deal.
They intentionally took the goalpost down, and they were back up like 30, 45 minutes later.
Okay. So that's,
they didn't get chopped up and kept slash sold for souvenirs.
Well, I think that the programs kind of learned their lesson on that, wouldn't you say?
I mean, some argue it's a huge liability. Some argue it's a tradition, so why get in the way of a tradition? I think if the win is a sufficiently exciting and historical win, then the goalpost will be leaving the stadium, whether the powers that be like for them to stay within the confines of the stadium or not.
Well, I think it was when Ole Miss beat Alabama. You remember that big game on the interception in the end zone? I think those goalposts ended up on the square, as I recall. They, like bees, marched them down to the square. So thinking about this Karen situation at this Phillies-Marlins game, which, of course, had a positive ending, and like the person on Twitter said, and as we are discussing it this morning, little did this lady know she would be famous. What did she think? Everybody's got a camera in their pocket, as you have indicated. That is why the consumption of alcoholism is perhaps declined, because you will be filmed and it will be published on the internet for all to see. Okay, so,
and I'm not saying every embarrassing moment goes viral. There are plenty of people that have their stuff posted and it only goes viral within a friend group or within a small community or within a little network of connections on the interwebs. But it doesn't go viral and people aren't talking about it across the country or around the world. But still, that going viral for a friend group can be embarrassing. So I'm just convinced that's one contributing factor for why we don't see as many people just getting knocked down, drag out, blackout, drunk anymore
in
public.
Okay,
or
so
in lower numbers.
Perhaps we could make the case that that is a clear benefit of the technology, even though we talk a lot in our society about how we've become addicted to these devices and have kind of checked out, and we've lost the basic human need and art of personal in-face communications.
Well, let me tweak my assertion, because my argument is based on young people drinking.
Okay.
If you've been drinking for 20-plus years, whether or not somebody's got a camera – probably doesn't matter to you.
It doesn't deter you, right? That's right. Have another. Okay, so Julie and I go out to eat Saturday evening. And in this particular restaurant, typical of a restaurant, you've got seating that comes in tables, and you've got booths. And we're seated at a booth, no problem. And kind of in a corner of this particular restaurant. And behind us are three males, I'm going to estimate late 20s, early 30s in age. And, of course, in a booth, all you have is like a seat back, especially if it's a straight up seat back, you know, one that's not inclined a bit. It's not slanted a bit, which gives you a little more room. But in this case, it's just one piece of 3-inch wood, essentially, serving as the seat back, separating these two booths. So we sit down. Now, the place, it's a little later. The place isn't packed, but it's scattered. Diners, guests. Well, it's not within a minute we begin hearing profanity. F-bomb profanity. Like, one of these guys, it's every other word. And it's not done, like, at a low volume level. At a more high volume level, I did turn around initially to see that they were enjoying some colorful alcohol. And it just ensued. And it seemed to get a little louder. And it was all three of them. And I turned around a couple of times and tried to get their eye and gave hard looks, but they weren't having anything of it. Is this just our society today? If so, I think it's pathetic. I think it's sad. And maybe you'll call me old-fashioned and thinking that that's just not cool. It's not appropriate. And here's what came to mind with one of these individuals that was most emphatic. I'm telling you, the word was used as an adjective for every noun in every sentence. You know exactly what I'm talking about here. So,
well, in fairness, it is a diverse word.
It's true.
It can be used in a multitude of ways.
I got this impression just listening to the subject matter here, and it appeared, again, you can't help but hear it. There's 4 inches between you, right? His mouth is 2 feet away from my ears. And they were talking about work, their work environment. And it just kept on and on and on and on. And I thought, you know, should I say something? That would probably aggravate the situation. I don't know, but it was just Julie and I. Now, had it been, and no disrespect to my wife whatsoever, had it been my kids, young kids, or young kids had been in the vicinity, I'd have definitely had to go to management. But in this case, Julie and I just decided, okay, let's don't make a deal out of it. Let's just eat and get the heck out of here. And we did, but this one individual sounded like he was trying to, I don't know, project his masculinity or sound tough or something like that. But I got news for him. You sounded like you lack communication skills because you can't come up with any other word. You have a very limited vocabulary. And you just sound foolish. It's I don't know if that was your intent or not. It was just speculation on my part. I could be wrong. That just ain't right, though. I don't want to see society get to the point where we don't observe some degree of decorum. And you know this as well. It used to be a time when females wouldn't say that in front of males. They may say it privately in front of other females, perhaps more than males do. I don't know. I've not been privy to those conversations. But that's something else that kind of bugs me. I don't find it to be attractive. I don't find it to be feminine or ladylike. I find it to be almost detractive. But I just had to pass that on. It's just and I'm no prude. I'm not sanctimonious by any stretch. That wasn't it. I just said, you know, the locker room, yeah. The huddle, yeah. I get it. The dugout where nobody can hear it, and I could come up with other cities. My golf buddies and I on the golf course, maybe, sure. You know, we don't make a habit of it. It's not a big, but this was like, you can't get a sentence out without invoking it 2 or 3 times in a sentence. It's not strong. It's not projecting strength. It's projecting weakness, honestly. And lack of communication skills. So, I guess I'm just, call me old-fashioned, I guess. And if so, so be it. I don't care. I find it inappropriate. End of story. We got to talk about this Charlotte incident. Man, oh, man. And the mayor, what a piece of work this mayor is. This is why you guys are getting killed, Democrats. This is why, I'm telling you. We're coming right back in the Element Well studio.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard. Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Okay, we're laughing because, shout out my friend Jimmy Nichols. he just sent an AI-generated photo that has a hunter hoisting the rack of a deer. He's in his camouflage, of course. And it's got the Karen from the Phillies-Marlins game coming over and trying to stake her claim to it. That's awesome, Jimmy. Oh, my gosh. People are really something, no doubt about it. Let's see. On the ceasefire text line, yes, you are being sanctimonious and uppity, and maybe they just didn't give a blank, blank, blank. Okay. Rhino is... Rhino was doubled over on that one. Oh, me.
Because it's funny if they're being serious, or it's funny if they're being sarcastic.
Yeah.
So it's double funny. That's
double
a good
funny.
Text.
That's right.
It's a high-quality text.
I agree. We're maybe a bit confused. I certainly am. By the way, I'm not apologizing for my view on this. I'm not whatsoever. If you don't like it, that's fine. We don't have to agree on that. I think it's inappropriate. It's not about being a prude, which doesn't really even apply here, honestly. That usually deals with sexual content. But it's not about being morally superior. I'm not suggesting that whatsoever. But it's about just, are you like oblivious here? That's what I felt like. Or do you not know where you are here in a public setting? It was, even if you didn't invoke the profanity, you're way too loud here in this setting where we're 6 inches apart. The person you're trying to speak to, one of them is about a foot apart and one of them's two. You don't need to yell at them. Oh, man.
It's where you, at an elevated volume over the top of the booth, hey, guys, can we pick one language or volume? Just one. I just need one, guys. Come on.
That is so good. I would tell restaurant management I'm not eating there with that behavior going on, says DJ and Summit. I considered it, and I just decided not to make a scene. And I will admit, it crossed my mind that people are crazy, especially when they've been drinking heavily. And I get it. It also makes one's lip get a little loose, and they tend to get a little louder and boisterous and slurring the words a bit. It was fine. We got through it. I just had to make the comment that I think it's sad that our society has devolved to that level, because I'm not the only one that's experienced, pardon me, this, and this is pervasive. This isn't isolated to this incident here. Filthy behavior is not funny. It is disgusting, says DJ and Summit. Yeah, I thought as well, DJ, it was just completely uncalled for. People that cuss in normal conversation in public ain't got no raisin, says Mike in Richton. Yeah, I tend to agree that you wonder if they didn't sadly learn it from their parents. I mean, they could be And it just seems like as time has progressed, we have normalized that sort of language more than it was at one point.
Well, we've come a long way since George Carlin's The Seven Words You Can't Say on
Television. Man, have we ever. I got to get to this. The Democrat mayor.
Half of those you could say on television.
Democrat Mayor Vi Lyles, in a response to, man, this is such a terrible situation. This person, this thug, this subhuman who boarded a train and just began to stab and kill Aryana Sarutska. And there's video of it. It's been pixelized somewhat, but you can sure see. She's just on the train minding her own business, and this dude with a hoodie on gets up and just proceeds to stab her like a piece of meat with zero regard that this is a human being. It's hard to comprehend. Well, the mayor there, Democrat Mayor Vi Lyles, says, we cannot arrest our way out of these issues. I guess, is she going to be another one that's going to blame it on the cost of housing or something ridiculous like that? Doesn't even mention the victim's name. And pays no respect to the victim. That's where we are in this country. The Democrats are staggering in this respect. Constantly, in every situation, it seems, exhibiting deference to the criminal over the victim. Especially if the criminal is a minority. A member of the underserved community, as they like to put it. That's sickening. Totally. You know, had this been a white perpetrator that had done this to a black victim, my gosh, they'd be going nuts. They'd be calling for the beheading of the perpetrator. But in this case, we can't arrest our way out of the issues. And if I'm not mistaken, none of the mainstream outlets picked this story up, right?
Not over the weekend. I think there have been some that have picked it up this morning simply because there's been so much pressure from social media.
Wow. So it took pressure, in other words. They couldn't report it as a story that I think should get national attention as the subject of crime is on everybody's mind.
That or whoever was in charge of making the decision didn't come into the office until this morning.
I guess so. Why do you need that, though? I mean, honestly, you know they're trying to sweep it under the rug big time.
Because it's an editorial decision.
Right. That's exactly right. Oh, but they're all worried about Trump going after people who commit mortgage fraud. They're all enemies of Trump. He won't go after people that commit it that are his supporters. Just incredible. It's upside down, sickening. Keep doing it there, Democrats. It's why you're getting your butt beat. Unbelievable. Yeah, the AP as of 2 days ago, the AP, PBS, New York Times, NPR, and even Wall Street Journal, no stories on this attack.
And I think I saw it in the bottom left corner of the CNN splash page. Like it wasn't a headline article, but I think it was mentioned on CNN this morning.
Oh, okay. Good for them. You're right. They probably got pressured to do it. Your buddy Bernie Sanders, what does he say? Bernie Sanders?
Give me all your money.
There you go. He was front and center at a Zoran Mamdani rally. Last week, folks, we shared with you the news that Elon Musk, the board of Tesla, has put a compensation package in place for the founder and CEO of Tesla, SpaceX, Starlink, other entities as well. a package that could make him the world's first trillionaire. I've thought for some time that the first trillionaire is above ground in this country or in the world. I think it will come from this country. It's virtually impossible to achieve that kind of wealth unless you're a crook and you're you're linked in and connected in with the Politburo there in the communist countries.
Or if you're a familial leader of a Middle Eastern oil-rich country that is
possible.
Technically, personally in charge of the entire country's wealth.
Possibly. Yeah,
in fact,
right.
If you count it by that, we've probably got a couple trillionaires. It's just not counted that way.
Well, that could be. You're right. But should it be on their balance sheet? Maybe. Right. This would be legitimate. Well, Bernie Sanders at the Mondomini rally, he declares, we are not going to allow Elon Musk to become a trillionaire. I'm telling you, folks, limit one, limit all. You think it stops with that? I know. It just drives Bernie Sanders crazy that Musk may hit those targets, and in doing so, may get compensated in accordance with a legally binding contract executed between private parties. He'll go crazy, Sanders and the Democrats and the left. You start limiting stuff like this, you limit all the way down. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. That's the warning that I hope people in this country understand and wake
up
to.
Income tax was supposed to just be on the rich.
That's true. We got some new polls on the attitude toward capitalism after this.
Some things can steal.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Say that's one of the best guitar riffs of all time there, right? Eric Clapton.
Definitely one of the more recognizable ones.
There's no doubt about that. Good tune. Thank you for that. Layla, Derek and the Dominoes. So, just back to this Elon Musk trillionaire package. What exactly is Bernie Sanders going to do to, quote, not going to allow? I know what he wants to do. You get to a certain level, that's it. We're taking everything out over that, right? And then what do they do with it? Shove it out the door to stupid crap that provides zero value to society.
Isn't Elon already paying the most in taxes already?
Yes, yes. $8 billion last year, I think, is what he paid. So when you think about it, okay, you want government to come in and limit and confiscate everything over a certain threshold. And like I said, the next obvious question is, for what? For what? You could take it all over a threshold. If you think, oh, yeah, we're going to trim the deficit, balance the budget. Not even close. You know that. That math doesn't come close to working. That's the fallacy in that argument. But what you hear him say, we could give them housing and health care and blah, 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 blah. We're broke. We can't give them squat.
But what's the second order thinking? What happens if you do tax everything above, say, $500 billion?
Yeah.
Then what is the incentive to make more than $500 billion?
You know that Marxists believe that people aren't actually motivated by financial rewards. That's what they believe. They hold that. Oh, they'll do it for the good of the community. And that misses the fact that almost all these people, if not all of them, give an enormous amount back. You know why? Because government's not putting a gun to their head saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. When they do it on their own accord, their own volition, just because they're just good people and feel compelled to share, that's happening big time. How many of these great nonprofit organizations that rely totally on private donations and do fantastic work would not exist if the government confiscated it? Think about everything transitioning to a model where the government takes it and then they redistribute it to these causes. How well has that worked out? Almost in every case, that sucks. But when it's done with private donations, I think of our great organization here in Mississippi, the Palmer Home, which receives 100% of its funding from private means, private sources. But when you start limiting incomes and confiscating everything over that, and if you think it starts at $1 billion, you wake up, and then it's $500 million, then it's $100 million, and the next thing you know, it's you. That's what the goal is. Nope, you got enough. And then shove that out the door. Great organizations like Palmer Home would be a mere shadow of themselves, I contend, because it would be government. You think? I mean, you see where I'm going here.
Oh, yeah.
For that. It's Americans are fabulously generous people, man. And the last thing I want is Bernie Sanders figuring out.
And the government,
what to do with that money.
To use your turn of phrase, is fabulously inefficient.
The worst, the most inefficient steward of capital on the dang planet. No doubt about it. But, man, guys like Bernie Sanders thinks he's better equipped, better suited to manage a $30 trillion economy than is the market. That's just a fact. I maintain that's greed. That is an example of greed. Man, oh, man. I caught this article, and it concerns, it's actually a poll, a Bloomberg poll. And it shows that the popularity of capitalism, favorability is a better way to put it, is down in this country. And it's just barely above water now, 54%. It was 60% 4 years ago. Socialism, on the other hand, maintains its level of popularity at 39%. It's just amazing to me. What's going on in our schools? We're not teaching this stuff anymore, are we? And it doesn't mean you have to have a class where you just tout the virtues of capitalism and just say nothing but bad stuff and just blast socialism. But you can put the facts on the table and let people make their mind up. They'll come to the right conclusion. The problem is the people in schools, they're not telling them the whole story. Only what they see is negative about capitalism and wonderful and virtuous about socialism. It's time for Fox News and Super Talk News. Dan Rollins, the chairman and CEO of Cadence Bank, after the break.
Your of Middays with Gerard Gibbert is brought to you by the Mississippi Business Journal. Visit msbusinessjournal.com. Scott Coopwood, publisher and president.
And now, the talk that keeps Mississippi talking.
That's what I like to listen to.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert. Here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone. It's hour two of Middays. It is Monday. That means it's a short show. Ricky Matthews of Super Talk Outdoors will come your way at 12:05 today. But right now, it's Dan Rollins, a chairman and CEO of Cadence Bank. Hey, Dan, good to see you.
Great to see you. Appreciate being on your show.
You bet. We are glad you're with us. So we wanted to talk about this situation that a lot of people are sort of moderately familiar with, and that's really just the insurance to protect their accounts, their holdings on file there that are deposited in a bank. It's a bit confusing. I think most people are aware of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and you always see banks advertise and promote the fact that they're a member of that, that they have such insurance, insures accounts to, I think, up to, what, $250,000, which honestly is not a whole lot. When you're in business, you likely have more money flowing through accounts at any point in time, even a small and mid-sized business. So there is an amendment that's being considered in Washington, the Hagerty-Alsobrooks Amendment being considered in Congress. You and some other bank presidents have authored an interesting op-ed on this subject. So what's this all about, Dan?
I thought I was here to talk about Mississippi football. I thought there was a lot more fun in Starkville and up in Kentucky this weekend. But if you want to talk about the FDIC, we can do that too.
Yeah, we got to do a little business as well to make sure our money is protected. But, yeah, great shout out there. It was a great weekend for Mississippi college football for sure.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the FDIC, you're exactly right. It's a $250,000 limit, and many, many small and mid-sized and certainly large businesses have more dollars flowing through their accounts than that on a regular basis. And we saw a little crisis in the banking industry back in 2023 when we had three larger banks that had problems and ultimately failed, and how that reacted. Customers were worried about their money. And so this amendment, it probably will be a standalone bill here this week. There's an actual hearing with the Senate Banking Committee on the 10th. It's been scheduled now. It talks about increasing the coverage on operating accounts, the accounts that people make their payroll out of, moving that limit to $20 million for non-interest-bearing business accounts. And I think that makes a huge difference and actually levels the playing field in the banking industry.
So, Dan, I mean, that all sounds great, right? You're increasing the face value of that, essentially that coverage per account. But what's the cost of that? Is that a cost that the member banks would have to bear? I mean, would the premiums paid into that increase, and would that be passed on to account holders?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, I'm in Washington, D.C. today and just met with Travis Hill, the acting chair of the FDIC. You know, the way the bill is written is it stages that in over 10 years. He actually mentioned this morning that he was not sure that there would be an increase in the deposit insurance cost, at least for the first couple of years as it was staged in. And banks pay for all insurance. So just as a quick reminder, Jared, you know, no tax dollars have ever gone to support a bank failure. Banks pay the cost of FDIC insurance through an assessment to all banks for FDIC cost, and all losses within the banks have been handled by that deposit insurance fund. So there's no cost to a taxpayer here at all, and it's paid for by the banks.
Yeah, I mean, it's just standard insurance in a way, if you will. So you're not in only in the banking business insuring the bank's assets and its operations, et cetera, but you're also insuring the assets that is essentially are in your trust. Those would be the accounts of your customers.
Right. The FDIC has a risk-based, a premium base, and so they're looking at the stability of each bank, and some banks pay a little more, some banks pay a little less, but we all pay an insurance premium to the FDIC to cover those deposits. And it was interesting in the conversation this morning, the discussion was around, does the increase of insurance of the dollar amount of the deposits that are being insured actually increase any risk to the deposit insurance fund by covering, sure, you know, non-interest-bearing business accounts. And there was discussion that really that doesn't increase the overall risk to the fund very much at all.
Okay, that's interesting. So, you know, I don't think we think about this too much, Dan, honestly. We fortunately, in this country, it's a fairly rare occurrence whenever a bank fails, and then all of a sudden we had that happen, couple of years ago, I guess, with Silicon Valley Bank, and that kind of shocked the industry and the country. But there were a lot of doom and gloom predictions right then and there, Dan, that this is just the first of many that are going to come. But I guess after sort of took the epithelial layer off and looked at what was going on in Silicon Valley Bank, they honestly weren't acting like much of a traditional commercial bank. They were acting almost more as an investment bank, an equity firm even, and that gets a little gray there, and it's highly risky.
They were very unique in what they were doing, as were a couple of the other banks that had problems during that cycle. And customers are able to move money instantaneously today with the technology that banks offer. You know, for our bank and almost all the banks in the state of Mississippi, you know, they weren't anything close to what we do every day, taking care of Main Street customers up and down the street that we all, you know, see at the ballpark and see in the grocery store,
yeah,
see in church on Sundays. You know, they're just a very different animal. And so it took a little while for the market to realize that they were a unique institution and that this wasn't going to roll over into the other banks. But the fact that the FDIC coverage was limited the way it was then, and actually the FDIC didn't have the ability to really take any action to support banks like ours or other banks that were out there in the situation, that's what this bill is intended to do, is level the playing field. You know, the too big to fail banks like ours and many other banks, we saw deposits that ran to the largest banks, the four largest banks, the over $1 trillion deposit banks in the United States. That's where the deposits went because everybody was fearful, and those banks were seen as too big to fail. And that's what this will do, is level the playing field so that all of us, the banks that are all up and down Main Street across our footprint, can be in the same shape.
Yeah, makes sense. So the banking industry is a bit unique in that you've got these giant banks, Citibank, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Citibank, and there's some others as well, U.S. Bank. But then we've got a lot of community banks, a lot of mid-sized banks. So they come in all sizes and shapes. Why is that important to our economy, Dan, that we have banks such as Cadence Bank and many of the other state charter banks and national banks, but in particular these community banks that dot the landscape in a state like Mississippi that serve Mississippi businesses, Mississippi customers?
Yeah, the mid-sized banks are powering the economy. You know, when you look at the percentage of deposits that are being loaned back out in the communities, it's the mid-sized banks and the community banks that are loaning those deposits back into the community. The mega banks are making loans, but they're making really big loans, and it's not within the communities that most of us serve. So I think that's the key here, is as we've seen this consolidation, and I think consolidation is going to continue to happen. That's just natural.
Sure.
But this, the community bank space and the mid-sized bank space, where this would be a level playing field. The deposits that are in the community banks and the mid-sized banks, those deposits are loaned out, you know, 75 or 80% back into the communities we serve. And the big banks are loaning 50% of those deposits back into the communities.
Interesting. So what are the prospects, Dan, of this this legislation moving through and getting signed into law?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's all happening pretty fast up here. And there's a lot of discussion around how this impacts all the different banks that are out there. This particular bill, remember, only affects banks with less than $250 billion in assets.
Okay.
The big banks are not impacted or do not get the extra benefit of this bill. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the politicians want to move this through. It is a bipartisan recommendation right now. It's got some lots of talk going on up here around the bill, but, you know, politics is politics. We'll have to see how everybody plays out. I personally would fall in the camp of saying we need to do something. Doing something is very important in today's environment. Doing nothing and studying it for a longer time is harder. So the fact that you've got a bipartisan proposal from a Democratic senator in Tennessee and a Democratic senator in the Northeast and a Republican senator in Tennessee that have come together to propose this, with some support from the administration and support from many others, including the Mid-Sized Bank Coalition, now's the time to take action.
Yeah, it sounds like with bipartisan support, there's a good chance this would move through and ultimately become law. It's a great piece that you and your counterparts and the other financial institutions wrote as well, and it's something we ought to all be aware of. Sounds like a good idea to me, Dan, honestly, and we certainly support it here. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, there's there's more risk in doing nothing than there is in taking action. That's the problem. By doing nothing and not making any change, we continue to perpetuate the problems that we're in. So taking action is critical.
Yeah, it absolutely seems like that's the case. Appreciate it. Dan Rollins, Chairman and CEO of Cadence Bank. Thanks, Dan.
Great to be with you. Thank you very much.
You bet. We're coming right back, folks.
Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Let's do this.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go.
We're back with you in the Element Well studio. Yeah, I think once that Silicon Valley Bank went down, that did call attention to the fact that the FDIC insurance is $250,000 for an account. It's been at that level for a long time. And there are a lot of accounts that at any point in time would have a greater value in them. And so essentially just increasing the premiums there, not the premiums, pardon me, the face value, makes perfect sense in my view. And it's rare in these days that you get any sort of bipartisan agreement. This is a fairly straightforward issue, I think, a no-brainer, as they say. And I suspect likely it will flow through and become law. This is a bit of a busy week on the economic news front. August inflation data is coming out. Also, the iPhone 17, that's going to be introduced as well. NVIDIA, Meta, Microsoft, they're all presenting at a major technology investment conference coming up. When is the Apple announcement? Isn't that tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
At Apple's all-dropping event.
Yeah, so they say. The
pre-orders are expected to begin Friday.
Okay.
With official release in-store to be Friday, September 19th.
Okay. Thin version called the Air, along with the other Pro models, expected to be part of the big announcement. And then Goldman Sachs is having a Communicopia Plus Technology Conference. That's coming up on Wednesday, and presenters will include NVIDIA, Meta, and Broadcom. Broadcom stock soared late last week on news that they're going to make a bit of a run at some of NVIDIA's chip market. Broadcom is a fascinating company that is into a lot of things that many of us aren't aware of, but they make stuff that powers a lot of the stuff, if you will, that we do use in networking, in devices as well. So should be a very interesting week. And then it's GameStop, the meme stock. They've also got an announcement. Oracle, this is a company I think you got to keep an eye on. The target for Oracle's stock price, I can't remember which one of the big banks upgraded, but if one of the big names late last week upgraded it substantially. Very optimistic, very bullish on the future of the company. It's Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, OCI. I mean, they've got a 52-week target out that's, what, Rhino, 75, 80 bucks a share above where it is today, I think. Which one was it? It wasn't Goldman Sachs, was it? I don't think so. But it was one of those big names like that. They're an interesting company founded by Larry Ellison.
Looks like the most recent upgrade came from BMO Capital Markets, but that was back in June.
Yeah, there was one last week. And maybe kind of hard to find, but I heard it on Barron's Roundtable. I always tune into it after Mass on Sundays and get the latest on that. And they were discussing Oracle, all bullish, their recent
quarter. Bank of America.
That's exactly who it was.
Yeah, it was August 5th.
And what are they saying as far as the target stock price? They got it on up there, man. I was a little shocked.
Price target of $295 up from $220.
That's a bunch. $75. So their quarterly report is coming this week. They've closed several big deals that they've announced. I mean, billion-dollar cloud deals. They're a name to watch. I'll be honest, I'd like to see them make an investment here in Mississippi. The you talk about attract software developers in AI. That is up their sweet spot, man. And Oracle is never really saw them getting into that business, but they have proven that they're formidable in it. I continue to see people who are concerned, express concerns about the explosion of data centers. Those are legitimate concerns, no doubt, with respect to power, demand, water. Some of the concerns, though, I submit, Rhino, are unfounded. Pollution is one of them. There was, no doubt, an example in Memphis with Elon Musk and his investment initiatives in artificial intelligence. And they've got a power plant up there, gas turbine powered. And I didn't realize this, but the EPA will grant like an exception to a certain level that is above the standard of emissions for a short period of time, a year. And there are reports of pollution and so forth. I'm not sure how many of those are legitimate, how many of those are just people looking for a payday. That's always a concern. But that really doesn't have anything to do with the data centers. It has to do with fast-tracking the electricity production. And it's fully admissible and certifiable by the EPA in this case for a year maximum. Then they have to adhere to the standards, the emission standards, on a permanent basis.
And there are still limits.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Increased limits.
That's right. So I'm not sure how much of that is legitimate. I mean, there are people come out of the woodwork complaining of all sorts of maladies that I don't think have anything to do with this. But, you know, unfortunately in our society, we're conditioned to, oh, they got a lot of money. Let's go get some of it. Hey, lawyer, can you help me get some money? Unfortunately, right? That happens. So if people are legitimately being harmed, okay. But shouldn't their grievance be with the EPA? It's their standards. Right.
But it's a lot harder to sue the government than it is to sue a private entity.
I know. I agree. You remember when we had Commissioner Andy Gibson on talking about the labeling stuff and all that controversy, failure to warn, I think is what it is called. And, you know, he said, hey, look, you know, this is perfectly acceptable to the federal government, the EPA, Department of Agriculture, et cetera, those agencies responsible for overseeing such, and therefore should be good enough here. It was his position on it. So it's also got August inflation data coming up as well this week. So it should be a bit of a busy week. Something that I was pleased to see that kind of happened, with minimum amount of fanfare is that you remember the Biden airline reimbursement regulation, him and Pete Buttigieg championed, basically said that airline passengers would be entitled to immediate cash, I think it was cash, compensation in the event of flight disruptions that were caused by circumstances that were under the control of the airline. would receive between $200 and $775 in cash and other accommodations, such as flight rebookings. But the Trump administration abandoned this regulation last week. So, interesting. Now, I don't think it was put in place yet. I think it was issued under Biden, but not yet implemented. So the Trump administration has put the kibosh on it. Not going to happen. And that was crazy to start with, in my view. The governor here in Mississippi is responding to some criticism that he deployed National Guard troops to Washington, D.C., to join in the effort spearheaded by the president to get the dang crime under control in the nation's capital. And so people are questioning the governor's move here. And I thought he made a pretty good statement when he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but, you know, we governors here, we actually can walk and chew gum at the same time here. And they're saying you should be sending them in to for other uses here in Mississippi and stuff like that.
Yeah, half the people are saying you should send them to Jackson, and half of those people aren't even from here. They're just parroting Gavin Newsom's stupid talking points.
All about race, of course. Coming right back in the Element Wealth Studio.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert. It is on Super Talk Mississippi.
Breakfast in America, the album, Supertramp, co-founder and singer Rick Davies passed away over the weekend, 81 years old, keyboardist, co-wrote many of the songs. I think he also played the harmonica, right, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. Super talented member of Supertramp, man, unbelievable.
Yeah, he'd spent the last decade or so fighting multiple myeloma, which is a type of blood cancer.
Yeah. Man, 81. That's right. 10. I'm looking at it now. 10-year battle with multiple myeloma. He was quite talented and unique sound. I remember when it came out, it's like, wait, this doesn't sound like all the other music, you know, that's been released at this time. But they proved it would be well-received by the buying public. I, one of them, had the album, Breakfast in America. What a great album cover that was. Kind of missed that about LPs, right? We don't get that from your digital music. That wasn't a big thing. That was part of the marketing, of course.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it.
At least it seems like we've gotten away from the, all right, we're all going to stand around and look in different directions and try to look cool for an album cover.
Yeah.
There seems to be some creativity coming back to it as an art form. But, yeah, we went through a dark period where album covers were just very formulaic.
Yeah, I think that's right. But
and speaking of his cancer diagnosis, I was reminded of, This may sound morbid to say it this way, my favorite attitude towards cancer.
Okay.
And it involves a YouTuber. He was I think he did Minecraft, but I watched a documentary on his life, and fascinating dude. But he, when it came out that he was fighting cancer, and it looked like his life was nearing an end, someone asked him, because he was very open about it, someone asked him, what does it really feel like emotionally to be on the losing end of this fight with cancer? Because nobody really seems to want to talk about that.
Right.
And his response was, the way I see it, I can't lose the fight with cancer. I may not win the fight with cancer, but when I die, I'm taking it with me. So at best, it's a draw.
Interesting. Love that attitude and perspective. That's excellent. Man. Wow. 10 years is kind of a long time to endure and persist, right, with that particular disease. Usually it takes you down a little quicker than that. Thinking about famous album covers, and there are many of them, especially from the 60s. But the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, of course, was iconic. With supposedly, of course, what the Beatles' official statement was, these were all our friends through the years, remember, that were featured on there, little headshots of them. Sticky Fingers, Rolling Stones, was a great album cover. And there are numerous others. We could spend shows talking about that. Perez could probably rattle off 100 of them for us, couldn't he? Nobody knows more about that stuff that I know in the state than that guy does, man. On the ceasefire text line, if the roles were reversed and the man had gone up to her and grabbed her by the arm, he'd be charged with assault. Talking about the Karen incident at the Phillies-Marlins game. Probably true. And by the way, while I was talking, it just came up on the screen. Another story about it. So you are forever etched, seared in our brains there, lady, for your craziness.
I mean, it'll be a footnote in the history of memes. I don't know that I would go so far as to say forever etched.
No, I agree. But it's
etched in our memories as much as... do you remember the llamas that got loose and were all the rage that one day?
Yeah.
Just a tiny footnote of internet lore.
Yeah, one way. So, also on the ceasefire text line, Neil from McGee, where we're talking about this incident on the train in Charlotte, reminds that she got killed August 22nd, 3 years ago. Brutal, stabbing, horrific, inhuman event.
3 weeks ago.
Three weeks ago. So, and it just kind of went largely unnoticed. But it's another situation where everybody's got a camera. Now, this could have been the official video.
Yeah, this was security footage that made its way onto social media, and then people on social media started noticing, wait, nobody's talked about this. This is egregious.
Yes, agree. So that's where we are. So, you know, it kind of reminds me of what you and I were talking about Friday with this technology company, video technology, crime-fighting technology company, Flock, with the AI-powered cameras, 80,000 of them installed across these United States. Now they've introduced insect-sized drones, is what they call them, that can also be used in crime-fighting.
And it's going to drive the birds aren't real people crazy.
Man, isn't it ever? That's a good point. Mike in Richland says, Gerard, I remember you saying that the world's first trillionaire is alive right now, and it may be sooner than we think with Elon. Yeah, I would often say, Mike, and I make that statement assertion when I do public speaking, and I'll often say, I think they're breathing. Might be in a stroller somewhere is usually the kind of the qualification I add to it, meaning it's a young person. You know, it's going to take a while to get to there. But I think what this indicates, Mike, and Rhino, I think you'd agree, this artificial intelligence stuff, and I get it. There's some drawbacks people are rightfully concerned about, I being one of them. But it is a new renaissance in many ways. And a lot of people are going to get stinking rich off of it. That's just a fact. Not only do I think Musk has a great shot at becoming a trillionaire, I think we'll see three or four others within the next 5 to 7 years. So I've kind of advanced my time frame, if you will, because when I first started saying that, it really was just a statement about income inequality and how wealthy folks, I believe, the reason they've gotten wealthy is because they leverage all the tools. They have this special, unique, God-given talent, and it is a God-given talent. And I do believe God expects us to fully utilize our talents to serve society. And when you do that, and people are willing to part with their assets for whatever it is you're selling, they're financially rewarded. I think it's a beautiful system. Not only that, it's the best. Is it perfect? No, that don't exist. Quit seeking perfection in that respect. What's perfect is a free market where consumers and sellers make those decisions on their own accord without government interference. That's as perfect as it gets. The only fair arbiter of wealth occurs in that situation. But I think this explosion of AI and the prospects for what it can do to change every corner of life in a positive way is going to mint multiple trillionaires in a short period of time. I also believe we may be seeing emerge the first one-person, one-employee company that achieves $1 billion of annual sales. Again, it's the tools that are all readily available. That's why all this crap that comes from the left, that the American dream is dead and there's just no opportunity and the system is rigged. No. I think, you mark my word, within the next 5 to 7 years, somebody's going to come up with something using all these tools at their disposal. And they're going to generate $1 billion a year of revenue, one person, one company. I don't know what kind of profit that'll produce. I can't predict that. But the tools exist, and they're getting better and more powerful.
Well, I mean, just look at the signing bonus for the AI engineer.
That was $1 billion, right?
Well, that was what, 300 something million was the initial.
Yeah, and then they negotiated back and forth. Yeah.
So I mean, you could imagine if you have some sort of AI superstar that's just wired the right way to think like the machine or whatever, and also be able to interact with humans. Then that one person could be a one-person consultant and easily make $1 billion.
No doubt about it. I agree. On the ceasefire text line, Scott and Clinton says, does the house band have a harmonica player? We do not. But I got to tell you guys, I played down on the coast, you remember, in that event with Billy Hughes, the former mayor of Gulfport, the organizer. He's one heck of a harmonica player. And he played Keep On Smiling by Wet Willie Rhino. And I'm telling you, he just pulled it off perfectly. We're coming right back with the final set.
Poly Up of Mississippi.
Are we going to do this?
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Keep rolling. 3, 2, 1.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Welcome back, everyone. It is middays from the Element Wealth Studio. Rhino was just doing the research on Layla. That's interesting. Gene and Bendenhall says best riff because it's Dwayne Allman. But you did a little research on that. Tell us about that. Dwayne apparently composed it.
Yeah, Dwayne Allman composed the signature riff of Layla, and then he and Eric Clapton worked together to blend lead electric guitar, rhythm guitar, and slide guitar, which Dwayne Allman was on slide guitar, for the sound of the riff.
Incredible. That's unbelievable how they were able to blend all that together and make that final product.
Yeah, quote, each player used one input of the same two-input Fender Champ amplifier.
Unbelievable. Man, it's just created to come up with that.
It's a heck of a lot of talent pumped through one amp.
That sure is. On the C Spire text line, the left doesn't want anyone to have an income. They want privilege to determine who gets to have private planes, fly first class, vacation homes, big houses. The rest of us get public transportation and apartments. Yep. Let them eat cake, as the saying goes, right? Let's see here. Thomas in Greenwood says, where's the iPhone 17 made? I don't know. I suspect they're still manufacturing abroad. I don't think they've moved back full manufacturing Apple. They've announced some manufacturing returning to this country. Could be in India as well. They make some stuff over there. Let's see. Philip in Walthall County says, or the next obvious question is, why work past this threshold? Absolutely. Totally true. That's when you start limiting. Yeah. I mean, aren't there stories, Rhino, about the days of the old Soviet Union when they were concerned that under government control farming, the yields really weren't up to par, and they gave them a bit of their own private land. And of course, because they got to keep that, maybe even sell it, make a little money, considerably better when it wasn't for the community. There was a profit.
And that was after they figured out that you can't just take people that have never farmed and put them on a farm and expect them to farm.
That is absolutely true. And China, same way. And, you know, Japan went through a period of that where, okay, you're going to do this, right? You would be handpicked for that. And they throw you in a room. Okay, go create. That's not how creativity works, which is why I'll make this point. Where does all software in the world come from? This country. You can't find software that's created elsewhere because they try to do it in such a dogmatic, structured, choreographed fashion. That's not how anything that humans create occurs. Let me go get in the room back here and create something. You know, these ideas come to you randomly, anytime, day and night. The old saying about, yeah, it came to me while I was sleeping or in the shower, and I went out and wrote it down. I've experienced that. I think most humans have.
That's why it seems like the quality of movies and TV have declined. It's not that we're getting old and our tastes are different than what them. No, it's because for a long period of history, even music, the creative entertainment, the big hits came out of left field because it was somebody doing something a little different, a little off the wall, a little unique. Now everything's funneled through, all right, let's get 16 writers into this room, and we're all going to write jokes, and then we're going to blend those together into a script, or we're going to all get together, and we're going to have 17 heads get together for this one songwriting fiasco. We're all going to put our own input into it, and you wind up pulling in too many directions, and it feels very generic and uninspired and lifeless.
I'll describe it this way. They're attempting to establish a creativity mill, and they don't work. It just doesn't work. That's not the way human
I mean, there are some minds that are better suited to getting actionable effort out of that. But those are few and far between.
Yeah, that's a rare exception.
Like Larry David, the guy that came up with Seinfeld and then Curb Your Enthusiasm, he thrives in that kind of environment, but there's one of him.
That's very unusual, though. I mean, that's super unique. Ricky in Aberdeen says, on our way to hear Eric Clapton sing Layla in Nashville tonight. Fantastic, Ricky. Enjoy that, man. Have fun. Thank God for midday, says John from Hardeman County, Tennessee. I learn a lot listening to y'all. I am entertained while I learn. Thank you, Gerard and Rhino. Appreciate that, your kind words there, John. Tom Snyder had a grandson of Oscar Mayer on his show years ago. His belief was 100,000 was all anyone needed. Oh, geez. Folks, we're out of here today. Back with you again tomorrow. Until then, stay safe and God bless.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.